Hello, and welcome to a very special edition of A Marvelous Lunch Break, as not only will we be kicking off Phase 3 by talking about Captain America's Civil War, but we'll also be getting giddy with it, as we're only 7 days away from Marvel's Avengers Infinity War.
That's 7 days in real time, not podcast world.
Yeah, yeah.
In podcast world, we've got like another 3 years.
Fair. but before that, we've got plenty of ground to cover as Tony and Steve go head-to-head in a fight that cost their mates an arm and a leg. Spider-Man joins the gang, but is it a swing and a miss? Is Beauty in the Hawkeye of the Beholder? Ant-Man plays a giant part, but does Scott languish the opportunity? And finally, Black Panther draws a feline in the sand between him and Bucky, but will it all be okay in the end as Zemo moves over of his own accord?
Amazing.
I couldn't even follow the structure of the sentence that time.
Okay, on with the show. Joining me as always is Miss Marvel herself, Anna Harrison.
Hello.
Are you okay?
I'm great.
And keeping things civil, it's Agent Martin Carter.
We'll see.
Okay, wow. If this is the first time you're tuning in, or if you're back for more, do note there are spoilers in this podcast, and it's not a companion guide. We're not reviewing Doctor Who here, so there may be spoilers for previous movies, this movie, and future movies. And whether you like it or not, please remember to rate it, review it, subscribe so you can get more of this in your ears on a weekly basis. And as well, if you see us on social media, please say hi. Tell us your thoughts in the lead up to next week's big movie release. In the headlines today, we've got a brand new segment. We usually go straight in talking about the cast, but today something a little bit different. We don't have a name for it yet. What should we call it?
I know. 20-second review? I have no idea.
Challenge Anna?
Yeah. Challenge Anna.
God.
Challenge Annika. Do you know what Challenge Annika is?
No.
It's like a program in the 90s with like blonde TV presenter used to like get given challenges, and she used to like get given a helicopter and like run around Stonehenge.
Wow. Oh, yeah. All right.
Saturday morning TV at its finest. It was incredible. There was jumpsuits.
There was a lot of jumpsuits.
Oh, it's great.
Okay.
It was awesome. So Challenge Anna. Car. I believe you've been practicing this one. So you're going to review the challenges. You were going to summarize the plot in 20 seconds or less.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to get my handy stopwatch out.
Okay.
Which is on my phone, surprisingly enough.
Ooh, I'm really nervous.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I am going to, when it's going to be a hard stop at 20 seconds, okay?
All right.
3, 2, 1, go.
When an Avenger mission goes terribly wrong, despite Captain Wood's awesome leg action, the team is ideologically divided as they are forced into signing the Sokovia Accords. At the ratification summit, a vengeful Sokovia soldier frames Bucky for a bombing, which sets the scene for an epic battle with Cap and Iron Man leading two opposing superhero teams.
Oh my God, stop! That was the fastest I've ever heard anyone talk. I promise you, listeners, we did not speed that up.
But some people listen to podcasts on like plus one or plus 1.5.
Oh,
that was just like, that was a, and also I really well done in general.
Oh, thank you.
Applause, yeah, but also well done for knowing how to speak really fast but still including the word ideologically.
Yeah,
ideologically,
that was ambitious.
It was an important note. I felt that I
do
had
you want to know your time?
Yeah tell me.
15.99 seconds.
Yes.
Wow.
That was incredible.
You could have fit the post credits in there with that amount of time.
So for anyone who didn't hear that, maybe you had it on 2x speed and that was just completely lost on you all. Anna, do you want to give us a bit of a longer summary of the plot?
Oh, well, so yes, but what I've done with that, because when originally I wasn't sure this 20-second thing was going to come off, so I was like, all right, fine, why don't I just do it longer?
It did, it came off. This is a new thing from now on.
So now, what I'd like to try to do is do the absolute full movie, but I'm going to do it in 2 minutes.
Full movie.
The entire movie in 2 minutes.
Get that stopwatch back out.
Oh.
This might not work. We might have to edit this entire segment out. I've practiced it a couple times, but let's see.
Are we putting ourselves out of a job here?
Did you practice this on your husband?
The first time, and then he told me he didn't want to hear it again.
Okay, right. I'm going to reset the timer. We're going to give you 2 minutes.
Okay.
Let's get a little bit of a longer chat about the plot of this movie. You ready?
Yeah.
Go.
Flashback, massive title cards, 1991, Winter Soldier, aka Bucky, is doing some evil Russian espionage and stealing some shit. Present day, new Avengers, stopping crime, but it all goes terribly wrong. Wanda accidentally kills loads of people. Meanwhile, Tony is at MIT funding projects and getting massive guilt trips. And now the Avengers are forced to sign the Sokovia Accords. Debate, team angst. Tony is pushy, Cap is righteous, Black Widow is inscrutable, but kind of up for it. Now Zemo is torturing a guy to get at a red notebook. Aw, Peggy is dead. Cap is sad, but it steals, his resolve not to sign the Accords. At the summit, we meet hot Wakanda Prince and his dad. Damn, bomb! Wakanda King is dead, and Prince is pissed. Oh shit, looks like it was Bucky who bombed them. Cap to the rescue? Buck's not interested. Mission to retrieve does not go well, and whoa, Hot Prince is Black Panther. And everyone is arrested. At the military base, Martin Freeman is a dick. Zemo infiltrates, disguises a shrink, and uses the red notebook to set the Winter Soldier off. Awesome fight. Leg kicks, girl power, iron glove, helicopter, Cap's arms. Cap hides Bucky away. Apparently, there are some other super soldiers to worry about. Stark's got 36 hours to bring Cap and the boys in. Time to assemble a team. Queens. Oh shit, it's Spider-Man. Showdown at the airfield. Iron Man, Black Panther, War Machine, Black Widow, and Vision. Versus Winter Soldier, Cap, Falcon, Scarlet Witch, Hawkeye, and Ant-Man. Awesome. So awesome. Action. Banter. Child endangerment. Explosions. And Ant-Man gets huge. Cap and Bucky escape. But oh no, Rhodey! And the anti-Avengers are arrested again. Stark is pissed, but turns out Bucky was framed, and the evil soldiers might be the bigger priority. So, to the weird Russian medical lab. Oh no, turns out it was all a setup. The other soldiers or Kulls are dead, and Zemo wants to emotionally destroy them all. Turns out Bucky killed Tony's parents, and now it's full-on nuclear Iron Man. Epic battle, heart-wrenching fight. Will they kill each other? No. But hearts are broken, Cap surrenders his shield, Black Panther captures Zemo, and back at the base, Martin Freeman is still a dick. Tony Stark is contemplating life. Rhodey is learning to walk again. Vision is despondent, and Cap is busting his team out of jail, writing heartfelt letters, and giving Tony the means to contact him for future adventures.
Whoa!
Let me just start off with, that was incredible.
That was outstanding.
As if we'd been spending 50 minutes every week talking about the podcast.
That's it.
We could have just had that.
I'll see you again next week.
That's content left, right, and
that
center.
That was incredible.
Yeah. Incredible.
It was also... the undertone of voice throughout that entire thing was great.
Your inflections were there, everything.
The fact that you included Cap's arms.
I felt like I've missed my I could have been like a race commentator or something.
Yeah, you could.
I loved it.
There's definitely a fast talking role out there for you somewhere.
Yeah, hit me
up. What was the time, Dan?
Your time for the full summary was 1 minute 50.46.
Yes!
So you did it with time. You could have spoken slower, right? Okay. So well done for that.
I felt like I was holding my breath for all of that, and now I'm exhausted.
let's take something a little bit slower pace then.
Yes, please.
And let's rope you in on this one, Martin. Let's get some applauses, some boos, some reactions, but... this time we're going to do it a little bit different because we've been introduced to a lot of these actors before. We're going to do the characters.
Okay.
Okay. So, some reactions for your Avengers, please.
Okay.
Captain America.
Yay!
Oh, yeah.
Iron Man.
Yes.
Black Widow.
Oh, yes.
Bucky Barnes.
Yes.
Falcon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like Falcon.
War Machine.
Yeah.
Hawkeye.
Of course. Oh,
Vision.
No, you need to do
yes,
a reaction.
Yes, Hawkeye. Okay.
Thank you.
Vision.
Yes.
Scarlet Witch.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah.
Ant-Man.
Yes.
Yeah. Sharon Carter.
Oh, Agent 13. I
mean, Captain America's... he wants to shag the door of his dead girlfriend.
He's got a type. What can you say? Carters are none.
How much frozen... storage do you think he's got ready to just speaking of webs, Spider-Man.
Oh god, yes.
Yeah. Zemo.
I mean, probably the best angry German stereotype of the MCU.
Agreed.
I would say
over Red Skull.
I mean, best as in like most realistic.
Okay.
He has a red skull.
He doesn't. Yeah. Okay. Everett Ross.
Ugh.
Yeah. That's Liv Tyler's dad, isn't it?
What? Oh, no, you're thinking of Thaddeus Ross. You're thinking of General Ross.
Two Rosses. What the heck?
Yeah, unrelated.
Are they not related?
Oh, no.
Yeah, so Martin Freeman's character's name is also Ross.
Oh, I'm thinking... no, who's the one who...
you're thinking of General Ross.
Yeah, also Ross, though.
But that's not... that's also not...
that's Liv Tyler's dad.
Yes, that's Liv Tyler's dad.
Red Hulk.
Right.
Supposedly. Eventually.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Let's see.
No one asked how Liv was.
How's Liv?
Yeah, you didn't mention his daughter.
Hashtag.
Could have just thrown that one in there, couldn't they? Anyway, so no, Everett Ross, we're talking about Martin Freeman.
Bleh.
Mm.
And finally, Black Panther.
Oh, yeah.
So, do you think we're there yet? Do you think this bunch is going to be able to beat Thanos in next week's movie?
Oh, is that only a week away? I mean, I miss Hulk. Not Hulk. I miss Thor.
Yeah. I miss them both.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a few people I'm made for this
They're
movie.
They're less fun without Hulk and Thor, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because, like, when you see... So when you look back at, like, Ultron, the last time they were all together, Thor and Hulk definitely bring a sort of different dynamic to the team that, like, wasn't replaced in this, which actually I kind of appreciated. Like, all the sort of new superheroes, quote-unquote new superheroes, they had coming together in this movie. I didn't feel like any of them were trying to fill, like, the kind of the personality that Banner brings or the personality that Thor brings. So it definitely made me miss them, but it made me appreciate that. Like, I think I would have been annoyed if I felt anyone was trying to take their place, as it were. So.
Yeah, and I don't think you're going to get a huge amount of bants from Scarlet Witch or Vision. Everything's quite serious with them.
It is quite serious with them. Yeah.
Paprika.
A pinch of paprika.
Something that I think I've said in previous podcasts is that this feels more like an Avengers movie.
Mm.
But actually, I disagree with myself from the past now.
Really?
This is a Cap movie. This is so a Captain America movie. I'll tell you why it's not an Avengers movie. A, because some key Avengers are missing, but the point of this movie is that they're not the Avengers.
Yeah.
There's no big Avengers scene in this movie. There is infighting from heroes, but there isn't the whole Avengers come together to overcome something. That never happens in this movie.
I'm not sure that I agree. Because you get some avenging right at the start, and you get that kind of team fighting, don't you? And that's really nice to see, and that's what we always like to see with the Avengers. I'm not sure it's a full Avengers film, but I'm also not sure it's a full Cap film. Like, Iron Man took a lot of space for me in this.
Oh, yeah.
I know he was kind of the antagonist, but... This didn't feel like a Captain America. And if you look at the other two Captain America films, it's all him.
Yeah.
This isn't the same for me. It's not the same.
I mean, I think it's interesting because in Ultron, while everyone did get a bit of, like, their kind of focus and time to shine, this movie did focus much more on Cap's emotional journey, but Tony's as well. I agree that I mean I think of it as a Captain America movie just
but
because.
If you look at which character in this movie had the most character development, who's gone on a journey in this movie? It's Cap. It's Steve Rogers.
But is it like it is in terms of sort of how like where he like starts from as in his like job description to where he is at the end? But I think he was pretty firm and fast on his beliefs throughout. Like, he, you know, he was the same, even though he gets like a little bit of a like, yeah, I need to stand firm at Peggy's funeral. I think from start to finish, his mind doesn't really change all that much. I think if anything, he just kind of gets like increased belief in what his opinions are the right thing. Whereas I think it's actually more Tony at the end who's on a bit more of a journey, to be honest.
Okay. Fair enough. That's, you know, I sent the question out there into the ether and you had an answer, right? But there's some other big things in Cap's storyline in this movie. Obviously, sadly, Peggy dying.
Oh.
We don't see anything about that. We just get the phone call. But it makes
the text message.
The text message. Yeah.
The text.
It's pretty brutal.
That is really brutal.
Yeah, it's a deep one to get as well.
Mm.
But that kind of brings Sharon into the movie a lot more. How do you feel about Peggy, Cap, the funeral, Sharon, all of this?
It creeps me out.
Does
I'm
it?
Not gonna lie. It creeps me out. It's very incestual.
Yeah.
I went to see a play this week that had a lot of incest.
Oh God.
Theme, and it just made two incest themed things in the same week is too many.
Is that incest? I don't.
It's not
really.
Incest.
It's not incest, but it's like.
It would only be incest if there is a chance that Sharon
is actually Peggy's daughter.
So it's Peggy's granddaughter.
No, but
it's her niece.
Oh.
Yeah.
But even
okay,
then,
so I thought it was a direct line.
No,
even
it's
then, it's
her
not
niece.
Incestual, is it?
No, of course not. Well, but no, the, if it was, I mean, when you say
Peggy didn't make any children,
exactly. Like when you say incest, like it's not like the actual dictionary definition. I kind of get
it's
what you're saying there.
It's a little bit close to home, though, isn't it?
It does feel that way a bit. But, and I guess there is also the sort of arguments like, oh, is Cap just like this is an easy Peggy replacement for him? But I don't know. I kind of like their dynamic. I think yes, she's a bit of a shoehorn character in a lot of ways, but I like that she kind of represents that Cap is willing to kind of open himself up emotionally again.
But she completely disregards any of her profession to help
yes,
him.
Yes, that's
well.
True.
She's giving him secrets left, right, and center.
Stealing very important stuff.
I suppose they're in a turbulent time. They've just everyone's profession has just been for
but
Hydra.
But surely in turbulent
right?
times, that is the time when you're meant to play by the rules if you're in the army and that sort of thing. Mm. I thought that the funeral scene wasn't great for me. Mm. I thought the spiel that Sharon gave was too much of a plot device, too much of keeping Captain America stuck to his beliefs. Mm. What I did really like about that scene is when Black Widow came to see him.
Oh, yeah.
And we talked to him in The Winter Soldier about their friendship. Mm. I thought the fact that she came and she gave him that hug,
I thought
was such a really nice moment of friendship that could have easily been, out of all the things to cut out of this film, you could have cut that bit out and it stayed in. I really, really like that bit.
I totally agree. Her saying that she just didn't want him to be alone, even though she knows that they're now on kind of other sides of the aisle. I really like that addition there. And I think there does need to be something, though, that kind of push it, whether it's like a bit contrived or not, the funeral. I think there did need to be something that pushes Cap just a little bit further. Because while he might have been teetering or he kind of knew which way he was going to go, I think there needed to be a definitive moment where he was like, it's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
He didn't really explode until the end, did he? He was defiant and walking away, but he didn't really have any sort of big clash with Tony before, right at the end when he has a big clash with Tony.
Well, that's quite an interesting thing about him being such a masculine man as well, that keeping all of that stuff internalized for quite a long time as well.
Yeah. And I wonder sometimes if that's also another thing that drives him to want to bring Bucky back in so much. I wonder sometimes if Bucky was like the last person that he was able to just totally be himself and be like vulnerable around, not just because he was physically vulnerable, it was someone that he had this connection with. And since all the crazy crap that's gone on in his life, you know, how many 60 years in the ice, 40 years in the ice, and you don't have anyone, and now Peggy's dead, and the last person he's really got is Bucky, like Nick Fury, and who knows where that guy is. And yeah, I kind of like that as well, having that another emotional drive for Steve to want Bucky back with him.
Cool. Well, I mean, we kind of mentioned Black Widow there a little bit, but one thing that really struck me about Black Widow in this movie is we've seen tons of character development for her in Avengers, in Iron Man 2, in Age of Ultron. We've seen Black Widow go on this long journey, and especially thinking about the sort of romance with Bruce Banner as well. Obviously, he's not in this movie. Did you feel that maybe Black Widow's character development kind of took a little bit of a time off in this movie, so to speak? What do you think about the role that she played in this?
I mean, I thought it was interesting, considering, you know, she's always been the don't really know what her motivation is. She could be up to anything. And we do see her do a turncoat thing towards
double
the end
bluff.
Of the... a double bluff towards the end of the airfield battle. But I don't know, I think it actually was kind of in line with who she has become through being a part of this team. You know, I imagine being like an agent sort of out there by herself all the time, maybe occasionally getting to do stuff with Hawkeye. I think being a part of this team has become really important to her. Like when she actually says something along the lines of us staying together is more important than why we have to stay together. Mm. And if she's not playing a long game with Black Widow, it's always a big if. I think that's very telling for how she now wants to fit in with her world, really, which I liked. I thought that worked.
I think she got given the most space, apart from Iron Man and Captain America, she got the most space to justify which side of the fence she sat on. Mm. So there was a really nice line about the one that you just said, but also her about reading the terrain.
Oh, yeah.
That I thought she'd applied all of her spying-ness about making a judgment call on which was the better route. So yeah. I did feel like I understood why she was on Tony's side initially, more than any of the other characters. But there was a lot of people in this film, and she didn't get a huge amount of time, really. But did anyone, apart from the main
couple? Yeah, do you think that's maybe something we're going to see in Infinity War as well? It's not a movie based on character development. It's a movie based on giving us the story rather than actually trying to progress anyone.
Yeah, I'm so curious to see it because, yeah, exactly. In having all these characters that you want to give time to, you are going to have to potentially sacrifice an emotional resonance, which is something I thought, which why it worked where this was a Captain America movie and not an Avengers movie, because you could have Cap with a bit of Tony juxtaposed against him, but they provided the emotional heart, whereas, oh man, I don't know how it's gonna play out in Infinity Wars. I mean, more often than not, these movies, they pivot back to Tony, like almost all the time. He's like the thread that's been running out through this whole thing. So I think quite possibly he might get a bigger shake than everyone else in Infinity War.
Yeah, and then I think we might see a very small amount of other people who get a bit of exploration into their characters. I think Gamora's one to watch. I think based on the trailer, she might get a bit more space to develop her character. And I think maybe one other person, whichever one dies. So those three, Iron Man, Gamora, and the one that dies, I think are going to get the biggest emotional heart in this film.
We'll come on to it more later on. My prediction, everyone's saying Cap's going to die, this, no. that, and the other. I think Tony's buying it.
Oh,
I think Tony's the one. Look at the journey, and this movie is a great one. Look at the journey that Tony's come on. We've seen him struggle and struggle and struggle, and all the good that he and the Avengers try and do in the world just ends up coming back to bite Tony hard. And he's seen the loss of friends, he's seen the loss of like other people impact him that he's had no control over. And as well, you know, he's seen his friends get hurt as well, like Rhodey in this one.
He's watched his parents die.
Yeah.
As well.
Oh, God. Oh, man. Yeah, we have to talk
just
about
like, just the emotional, mental health journey that he's been on.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think there's any other way for it to end for Tony.
It would be a shame if that happened. I mean, I can understand how that would work.
But how does he get, if he doesn't die in Infinity War, doing something grand that justifies his existence, how does he get that peace internally with all of the things that have happened in his life?
I'd love to see the end shot of Avengers 4 of just him on a beach with Pepper Potts and like the camera zoom out.
Because I've gotten to, he is messed up in many ways. Like the Sokovia Accords could just be like the Tony Accords and, you know, keeping Tony in check, because it's quite often his bad decision making that leads people down, or everyone down the horrible path. But particularly with this movie, towards the end, oh my God, my heart was just broken for him. And I really felt that he just needed to let something go. Because he has that brief chat with Cap as well, where they're sort of talking about how he broke up with Pepper. And he talks about how he just couldn't stop. Like, you know, yes, I blew up all my machines at the end of this, but I couldn't stop. And he can't stop. Until maybe something will happen in Infinity Wars free him.
So you mentioned the Sokovia Accords in this as well. It might as well be the Tony Accords, right? It's something that he's driven because he wants to try and make a positive situation out of something negative that has come as a consequence of something that he was trying to do positively. He's trapped in this cycle, but it's really interesting. So the point of the Sokovia Accords is that the government, or sorry, the United Nations would control the Avengers, essentially.
Have oversight, like, I guess.
Yeah, have oversight.
It did seem more like it was a kind of control. They would make the decisions about where they would go.
I think the biggest hitter is Cap says, what if they send us somewhere we don't want to go?
Mm. Yeah, or they won't let us go somewhere we feel we need to go.
In the comics, it's really interesting because one of the main drivers of Civil War, the event in the comic books, is... not just the control, but it's something called the Superhuman Registration Act.
Oh, yeah.
And the idea of that is that superheroes need to be more accountable, so they have to be on a public register.
It's also a bit more of a backlash against the mutants in particular. I think that I really meant to sort of read up on it again, but I think a big determining factor is that if you're born with powers, or as opposed to when you develop them, there was a very clear caveat about, like, these are the bad ones, these are the good ones, they have to be registered. And Cap was really, really against.
Yeah, and against it's like the idea is that you can't, you lose your right to privacy.
Mm.
So one of the big players in the comics was Spider-Man, and Spider-Man and Iron Man's relationship, because essentially Spider-Man is the biggest masked superhero. His identity is completely secret, and he's got so many villains over the years that don't know who he is that it's like, well, these will have personal ramifications on my family. You know, everyone that I've ever had any grievances with will come and just have a go at my family. They'll know who I am, where I live. And it's all around, like, Iron Man convincing him to take the step, to take his mask off, to publicly reveal himself. And he is kind of the big dynamic shift in Civil War. It's really interesting how Spider-Man's brought into it in this movie. Obviously, it's the first appearance we see of him in the MCU.
Yeah.
It's not about him taking the mask off, but it is him getting on Tony's side in a completely different way.
Yeah. I mean, but in general, though, what do you think of the Accords? Like, do you think, like, whose side are you on?
I mean, if it was in this world, what would you?
Yeah, so if it, in just this movie, what side are you on?
Oh, that's really hard. it's really different because we've been at the table with the Avengers. Whereas if you're a general member of the public, you would just see the disasters, wouldn't you? I would probably, if I'd have seen the events in New York and I'd seen aliens come out of the sky and those were the people that saved the world, I'd have probably said they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And it's beyond me as a regular human to judge that. And therefore I don't think regular humans per se should judge that. Mm-hmm. So I'd probably go on the side of Cap, but not for morals, more for they are something more evolved from me, and therefore we shouldn't be governing them.
Wow. What about you?
Especially Vision. Like Vision of who is, you know, this mythical creature.
Yeah, I kind of agree with, I agree with you, but I think also it was sort of seeing the footage that General Ross shows to them. It was maybe like when I saw it in the cinema, it was the first time I thought about, like, Jesus, from a perspective of, like, someone who just, like, lives on Long Island and has no idea what's going on. And if you think about it in today's world with all this sort of, like, fake news, all the agenda that must be pushing, especially if it got out that, I mean, okay, yeah, the Avengers saved as many people as they could in Sokovia, but Ultron was entirely their fault. I don't know, I can totally, because also sort of working in PR, I can totally understand this sort of reputational issue, and it is important that people aren't afraid. The idea of, but then I would also be scared about, like, okay, so then what happens when a government doesn't like another government? You know, we see it all the time, you know, not great information, yet we go and carry out our military might the way we want. Like, but the one thing I also have to say, and as much as I was so annoyed that they were getting this, like, lecture from General Ross, given what a fiasco the whole Hulk thing was in Harlem, he did make the really interesting point of, like, they don't know where Thor and Hulk is right now, which is the equivalent of having lost two nuclear missiles, which, oh man, I hate to say it, but that is a really good point.
And they're all our dubstep cannons now.
Yeah, well, yeah. How about you, Dan?
I don't know. I think it's really interesting. I think definitely I'm on Cap's side, because everything is just created by humans anyway, right? So governments are just created by us, and who regulates governments? Well, the UN. Well, who regulates the UN? And you just keep going step by step and step. And eventually, I think you've got to have a counterpoint to that acts for different reasons so that you spark discussion about what the right thing to do is.
Yeah.
As you've just said, we see governments, we see sanctioned activity happening around the world that kills innocent people. Yes, this is visible, but how is it any different? It's just a different set of people essentially trying to do the same thing. And I don't think that any one side is the ultimate authority. So yeah, let them do it.
Safest hands is still their own.
Yeah, I
think absolutely that. And, you know, all you'll... I completely agree with the bit that Cap says, where it's, what if they send us somewhere we don't want to go?
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily the not letting us go somewhere we want to. It's the sending them against their own beliefs and own morals. And I think that's something that is maybe stripped out of the higher levels of government, is like personal morals and objectives. And I think, you know, it's good to see that Cap's fighting for that.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's the right thing to do or not, it's their personal morals and objectives. So
before SHIELD, before SHIELD was revealed as Hydra, was SHIELD part of the US government? Was it like a secret faction of it?
Yeah.
So you could say that the Avengers have always been governed by someone, because Nick Fury built that team, and Nick Fury essentially would work for the US government.
Mm. Yeah, but if they wanted to go somewhere...
Yeah, I think they operated.
Didn't stop them, really.
Yeah, I think they had a certain level of autonomy, and I think it was probably one of those things that wasn't as formalized as what the accords were representing.
They are some big accords as well.
Yeah, that they was like
a meaty document. Yeah.
I think it also says a lot that the
who's reading through that?
I don't know.
Imagine it's on that really wafer thin paper as well. Yeah.
Wafer.
But I think it was an interesting thing of kind of Cap, the military. You know, way back from when he was a young. Young Steve Rogers, and he made a point. He's like, I just want to follow orders. Like, I just want to be a good soldier, and to where he is now. Yeah, it's been a good journey.
I mean, it's all about freedom, right?
Yeah,
Captain America, and that's
freedom,
the whole freedom thing.
Yeah, and free. And I also really like the point he makes about how agendas can change. So I think freedom from agendas is really important for the team as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a topic that I'm sure if it was in the real world, we'd be voting on and debating, and everyone would be having their opinion, and it'd be, you know, an absolute mudslinging, horrible
be such
time.
Nightmare.
There'd be
all
things
of
printed on the side of buses.
Oh God, there'd be promises about spending,
trolls taking over, you know, accounts,
doxxed because they want, I don't know, justice for Hawkeye or something. Martin,
poor Hawkeye.
But yeah, so it's really interesting, and I think it. The difference between the comic books and not having that the face reveal stuff, a lot of the heroes in the Marvel Cinematic Universe are just publicly known.
Well, Black Widow put it all on the internet, didn't
she?
Yeah, get that out there.
Yeah, and that's how...
Zemo.
Yeah, he found the book of... That's problems. A big book for seven words.
Yeah.
Really. Is it one per page? Is it like a kid's book?
Yeah. Fritka.
I don't like that the words nine and benign are next to each other. It just ruins the syncopation of the whole thing for me.
I always think when someone's reading that, it sounds like one of those conceptual art pieces you might see at like a foundation year show.
Oh God, we're just like an empty room with
nine, benign, flayed car.
I found them quite ominous though. Oh, but when Bucky's like face goes blank and he says he's like ready to comply. Oh. Chilling.
What I don't get is...
I don't get that.
What I don't understand... I understand the bit about him being taken over. That's fine. I get that. The bit that I don't understand is why when he gets taken over, he suddenly has a Russian accent. Why would his voice change? It makes no sense.
I don't understand how you can reset someone by saying seven, eight words in a sentence.
That's a whole like Manchurian Candidate thing, which I love when Tony makes that reference at the end of the movie. That fucking slays me.
Pavlov's dogs.
Yeah,
that whole thing.
He gets a weird electric thing pushed onto his head. Let's just assume there's some sort of weird electrical relays taking place in his brain.
That doesn't sound like the least believable thing.
Out of all the things. But it'd be great because you could get him to like, do the vacuuming up, couldn't you?
That's what they have him doing. They have him doing chores.
Ready to comply. Clean out the kitchen.
Go on, lad.
Oh, Bucky.
And, you know, Bucky doesn't come out of this movie great either.
Bless him.
And...
He's got an arm off.
He's paid an arm for the price of freedom. And he doesn't really have any... What I find so strange is that Captain America Winter Soldier wasn't as much about Winter Soldier as it was Hydra. This movie has way more Winter Soldier in it, I feel.
Yeah.
And it just... It's just strange.
Is his arm completely metal?
I think it was metal all the way through.
So it wouldn't have hurt.
Probably
because
not.
Because there was a metal stump left, wasn't there? So
it went, feelings.
Imagine, it probably didn't feel good. I imagine it wouldn't hurt. They, I don't, considering what he does with it, the way he like slams it into things. But I imagine there's some sort of sensory thing throughout the
like
arm.
A phantom,
so
I think it's got a phantom limb.
Yeah, so I can't imagine it would have felt like it was being cut off, but there's no way it could have felt good. Mm. Like it would have been.
It's pretty
yeah.
quick as well. Mm. Yeah. It didn't like, it wasn't like it took forever.
The thing with Bucky, so I love Bucky in this movie. I really do. And oh God, I love his dynamic with like Falcon. They're both like in competition to be like Cap's best bro. But there are a few times in it where I wanted just a little bit more from him, especially, I know we'll talk a lot more about the ultimate fight because there's just so much to unpack there. But I feel like Steve actually does Bucky a bit of a disservice sometimes where he's just constantly saying to him, like, it wasn't you, like, don't think about it, don't worry about it, like, you didn't, you know, you were taken over with someone else, it was someone else controlling you. And I actually think that Bucky could have gotten a lot out of just having the ability to say, like, even though he says really quickly, he's like, yeah, but I did it, that like wasn't enough, especially at the end. Like, I think if he had just taken a moment to look at Tony and, you know, even though Tony was like in the madness place, just be something like, I am so sorry, like, because he's right, it wasn't him, he was horribly conditioned and like brutalized. But I feel like there was a lot of agency taken away from Bucky, and the fact that Cap was always speaking up for him, like always protecting him, mm-hmm. it diminished his recovery, I think.
Yeah, he didn't get that space for reflection, mm-hmm. did he, to think about what he did. Like, we obviously know that he hates what he does when he's brainwashed because he's yeah. so resistant to getting back in the chair and all that kind of yeah. stuff. But there isn't a moment of look what I've done, which I think Iron Man got quite a lot, especially mm. with like Ultron and that sort of thing. But yeah, there was that was a little bit missing, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it's pretty, I mean, it's pretty rough deal as well for him and Iron Man having the whole video of him murdering the parents.
Brutal.
It's a really difficult movie.
Oh my
this,
God.
You know?
This movie is brutal.
I loved watching this. Yeah. Let me just say, like, it's a great movie. It's got so many awesome action beats in it. It's fun, but when you're trying to talk about it afterwards, it's like everything that happens mm. is dark,
heavy.
And the bit where Iron Man asks Cap if he knew, and he doesn't give him a straight answer. It's pulled my heart out.
You know, Cap's a terrible liar. Yeah, it's not his. That's not his.
They've always said it. Yeah.
Right.
Oh God. Yeah, that was so brutal. So, but like, the other interaction between Bucky and Tony that really hit me. So, you know, the first time that that Bucky has busted out, he's sort of tearing through the facility, and Tony just has the glove, and he's fighting him. That moment where Winter Soldier pulls the gun on him and he shoots him, and he managed to stop it with the glove, but like the look in Tony's yeah. face when that happened, like that was
a PTSD moment.
Oh my God. And Robert Downey Jr. played that moment amazingly, because I felt it. It was crazy.
And I love that scene where Sharon Carter and Black Widow just going, even though they know they're outmatched,
yeah.
they're just both like,
love it.
Right, I'm going to take you down by putting my thighs around yeah. your head. I'm just like, oh, it's so good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the action in this is so good. So good.
No, absolutely. And, you know, one person that we haven't even mentioned yet. Black
Ant-Man.
Panther. Oh, whoa. Okay, well,
yeah.
Anna, you know what? Let's do yours first.
No, I was totally kidding. But yes, I do want to talk about Ant-Man because that's amazing. But we do get introduced to T'Challa earlier.
Yeah.
And, oh my God, did you guys know that when he's 40 years old?
What, Chadwick Boseman?
Yeah.
What?
Okay. I'll believe it.
It's amazing. Beautiful. Young man. Anyway, I found that out and it blew
incredible.
My mind.
Can we do just for mine and Anna's benefit at some point in the series of her, can we do a ranking of like our top three like super hunks?
Oh yeah, I think we'll need to.
Dan, you can do it for the ladies as well for
okay,
equality.
We'll have a moment to reflect.
Okay.
later in this series, after we've seen everything, after everyone's been introduced. Yeah. We'll have a period of quiet, simple reflection.
Ooh. Excellent.
But the bit where T'Chaka
T'Chaka is the king, yeah. T'Challa is the son.
When the explosion, I did not see coming, and
it
terrified me. Like, yeah. It made me jump. It was so scary.
Well, if you've seen this movie before.
No, I mean this time, in the first time.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But that was
going to say.
That was, and that, again, that was brutal.
So
like,
brutal.
That was really brutal.
Yeah, I forgot how emotional that was. For two characters that we've essentially never seen before.
Yeah.
You know, like, yes, I know we keep mentioning it. We have seen Black Panther. I'm not trying to show off or anything. But at this point, we don't know anything about these characters, and it's still a huge emotional moment in the movie. Because King T'Chaka seems like a swell guy.
He's a nice boy.
Right? He's just really nice guy, saying lovely, wholesome things to everyone around him. And then he goes and gets blown up.
Yeah.
And T'Challa is, like, wrecked.
Yeah. Oh, man, that scene is so intense. And you believe his, like, vengeance, where he's like, nope, I'm going to take care of it. Don't care what you say.
And it's so good how I think this is why Black Panther is one of Marvel's sort of apex movies, is they've got so good at sewing in little bits of a character from, like, the first time they're introduced, even when it's not in their own movie. So you see him, like, playing with the ring. And like fiddling with his ring, and we know how huge that is of importance in the movie.
Yeah.
In the Black Panther movie. You know, we see them referencing bits of Wakanda. We even see him, I don't think it is the exact same actor.
Oh, no, it's not the general. Oh, God, I've completely forgotten her name. But now I know who you mean, the woman who's like, move or you will be moved.
Yeah. But, you know, it's still giving the same theme. They've still got the same sort of outfits and dress. And
even before he dies, Black Panther's dad almost said something like, it's time for Wakanda. He didn't quite say step out of the shadows, but it was almost like he was going to make a speech similar to the one that Black Panther made at the end of Black Panther.
Yeah.
And it was almost like, oh no, you're going to be blown up. Yeah. It's like, give a little, take a little bit away.
And we start to get a little chit chats about vibranium. Yeah. And I'm just like getting all like excited to watch Black Panther again. Yeah. And it's exactly why Marvel are killing it, is because they're just so good at sowing that seed, sending it out there, and you think it's nothing, but when you rewatch and when you keep consuming more of that character, you're like, oh, I know everything about them.
Yeah.
And I think we've seen it with a lot of characters that are introduced phase two onwards as well. Ant-Man's kind of got another appearance in this movie. He's got a second chance to shine.
Boy, does he.
Even more screen. Maybe not more screen time, but more screen.
What percent
for sure.
of the screen?
What percent of the world do you think he takes up when he's giant man?
It definitely became much more. Oh, man, that was so. But actually, before we get onto to Ant-Man, just because before we see him again, we're introduced to Spidey. And
you keep delaying Ant-Man. You brought him up.
I just want to give Ant-Man his due when it like when
Are
it
you
comes
doing this chronologically.
I know, man. I know. I need to get away from that. No, but I just want to say this. I don't think of all the MCU movies that I saw was I ever filled with such joy at seeing like getting introduced and getting to meet a character as I was with this Spider-Man. Like even from the very first time I saw it, he was just. Oh, everything. Like, when the big title cards come up, which, by the way, I felt was like...
They are huge.
So
Lagos.
But
London.
I've written this down. It's very, like...
Did you just turn me down on the microphone?
Yeah.
That's, I wanted to turn the font size down.
Sorry, listeners. Martin was trying to eat his microphone when he said those things.
But, we do it from further away. What's the other one?
You can go... Vienna. London!
But the really funny thing about that was it immediately made me remember when we were doing Ultron and we couldn't remember where that shipping yard was because the title cards were so tiny.
It's like they've turned it. They've turned the dial right up.
Big thing. But again, I felt like the big title cards were a payoff then when it said Queens and had the music and I was like, Cala Spidey.
Yeah.
It was such a good introduction.
It's just very different. It's different stylistically to other Marvel movies.
Yeah.
And it's like very of that summer. That this came out, like that was on all marketing campaigns.
It really was.
Everything
yeah.
that someone was just put words in big, and it felt dated.
Did did it.
I totally.
I like a large white font. I found Spidey a bit problematic for me.
Oh, really?
In this film, yeah. And Dan and I had a chat about this in a previous podcast about after Guardians of the Galaxy, everything became, in some circumstances, too fun and too quippy.
Stop having so much fun.
We could just stop having fun. And I know that other people will massively disagree with me. But there was a point in the airport fight where Falcon says, "There's not usually this much talking in a fight like that." Like some of, I know, like everyone's kind of friends or at least colleagues, but like us all having a fight in the office, you know what I mean? Like we'd have to make light of it because it'd be a bit awkward. But I did feel like Spider-Man was just a bit too jovial. He pulled me out of it a little
really?
Bit.
But yeah. He's a kid. He's loving it. Yeah. He's around all of the heroes that he's seen and like aspires
to hang out with.
But he's in
like major danger, isn't it? Major danger.
I don't think he gets it. I think it's, I don't know, I really loved it because I felt like finally it's a Spider-Man who's like full of joy and is like, you're just excited about his life. Like, oh my God, like I can't even begin to express how much like Andrew Garfield depressed me. Like with the last Spider-Man where it was just like so morose and the world is on my shoulders. Whereas
there's a lot of rain in that.
So much rain. So much rain. And this Peter Parker, I really like, that's how my Spider-Man always was. Like when I read comics, like this is really how I saw him.
He's a great Spider-Man. I just think this moment in the film is the crescendo, is the pinnacle of all of the tension between Iron Man and Cap.
I disagree.
This is the fun, this is the big action sequence definitely, but the emotive pinnacle,
but this is the decision decision where they've decided to fight each other, like fighting one of your friends is
but they don't do anything serious. They don't rip each other's hearts out or take their arms
and
off.
They also talk about like how they're kind of pulling their punches a bit as well.
I mean, this is a showpiece fight.
Definitely. Mm. I mean, I also love how there was Spider-Man says once to Cap America, how he's like, "Oh yeah, he told me to go for your legs," which I was like, "Yeah."
I disagree because I think I agree with you about the Guardians stuff and how Marvel kind of tapers everything with a joke. I actually thought in this movie they didn't, and I thought the end sequence is really serious.
Not like, undercut
there's
at not, all.
There's no quips or anything in there in the ending bit, and that's what I want to see. I want to see it build up to a strong point and a message at the end of the movie. This is like, it's almost like we've cleared the airport. We're going to get all the superheroes. We're going to get the TVs. Channels there. We're going to make them do a big fight over who's right and who's wrong.
Mm.
And we're going to play it. You know, you can pay-per-view it if you want. Spider-Man is a new character. He's going to be there. He's going to be making his jokes.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man is that character. He's the jokey character. Like, we've been beaten into submission for like 10 to 15 years now with Spider-Man that is either emo or lame. And doesn't
make
good jokes.
I liked Andrew Garfield.
Oh.
I think he filled out the suit the best.
He did fill out the suit well. But he's a child. I don't know. I think I had a
Spider-Man's a child, right? This is exactly right.
Yeah.
He's a kid.
How did you feel about Aunt May?
Aunt May. You know what? I'm up for it. I mean, I'm a big fan of Melissa Tomei, like kind of full stop. And I say, yeah, like when I saw it again, so much of the whole Spider-Man scene in introducing Aunt May, all that, it felt like, oh, like such a breath of like fresh air into sort of the whole Spider-Man like ethos thing. I don't like her as much in the actual Spider-Man movie, but I did like her introduction. I think just during the whole airport scene, I just had a huge smile on my face the entire time.
Yeah, totally. And you know, I love that they sidestepped the whole Uncle Ben, Aunt May, how do you get your powers thing. They just were like, here's Aunt May. This is a different take on it, and it's quite interesting. And yes, sweep it under the rug and get on with it. Mm-hmm. We know who Spider-Man is.
Yeah.
Come on.
Okay. I'm sorry. Do you need to leave?
No, you don't have to leave.
Okay, beat Martin into Spider-Man submission.
It's fine. But
you
I'll
managed
tell you
it
what,
with Ant-Man last week, so.
Well, before, we'll postpone Ant-Man even more.
Oh, okay.
Because let me bring you on to one of your favorite topics.
Nice.
Hawkeye.
Yay.
Comes back in this movie.
He does. Why is his allegiance where it is?
And you know, before we answer that as well, why is he out of retirement, but it was like a couple of months ago that he went into retirement? He's really not missed anything.
No.
Yeah, he did. I don't know. I can't speak for Hawkeye. I'm just a big fan. But I don't remember him and Captain America having...
Mm-mm.
Being like BFFs.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, if Iron Man had called Hawkeye first, would he be on Iron Man's side? Do you mean like he just seemed like, oh, I'm on this side. And I don't know if this is the time to talk about who's on which side, but...
Mm. Let's go for it.
I don't know. Like, so like, I get Falcon and I get Bucky.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense to me. Scarlet Witch, I think I get, because she's been so traumatized by what she did. I get that.
Well, the big thing as well, and this is something that isn't exaggerated in the movie, is that a lot of this is because of Scarlet Witch, because what she did at the start, but also because she is a complete new type of hero.
Yeah. So maybe out of that side, only Hawkeye's the one that I don't really...
I can only assume, because I was sort of surprised by that as well, because you'd think if he's going to be aligning with anyone, it'd be Black Widow, surely. Like, whatever side she's on, he would be with her. But I think it's actually Wanda that kind of tips it for him, I think, just because of the sort of connection they had from Ultron, that with the Accords and sort of the way the terrain is going, it seems like her life is about to be under lock and key, and she's just going to be scared forever. And I think maybe, I don't really know, because I had some questions about it as well, but I could think that maybe his motivation was like, this young, scared woman, I kind of brought her into the Avengers. Like, I gave her that speech and like told her, like, we're your people now, like, let's do this. And then maybe he feels that Tony's kind of betrayed that, and he's like, well, at least, who knows what's going to happen, but at least this will get her some measure of freedom, or at least in herself, like, she'll get out of this house, because Vision wasn't gonna, like, if she was on Tony's side, she just wouldn't have left, she would just still be there. So that's how I read his involvement, really.
An Ant-Man, why is he on that side?
Just I think they called him first, to be honest.
Yeah,
very much.
Ant-Man they called him first. And he's a criminal.
And he's, you know, a big Captain America fan. Thanks for thanking of me.
Thanks for thanking of me.
Okay, so Iron Man side.
Yep.
Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about Black Widow's kind of rationale a little bit, and she kind of flip flops anyway.
So. Yeah, I think more than anything, Black Widow needed to be on Iron Man's side to make the movie interesting.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I don't know whether if we actually, these were real people with real feelings.
Mm.
I don't know whether they should be on the same side. Mm.
Yeah.
Rhodey.
Yeah. Obviously.
Vision again, because he makes that talk about I've thought about this logically or something. Doesn't
bleep bloop numbers.
Yeah.
Isn't that what you do at work?
No.
Black Panther, I think I understand.
Yeah.
And then Spider-Man, because
Tony called him first.
Tony called him
first. Because to be honest, the chat that Spider-Man gives Tony in when they meet in the room, like, that sounds like Cap's argument. Like, that sounds like he's on Cap's side, and Tony just like, because, well, Spider-Man even says, like, the only thing that Tony seems to have really told him is that Cap thinks he's right, he's wrong, that makes him dangerous, and that seems to have been all the information he was given.
But, you know, that's a parallel, once again, a parallel with the comics, is that the way that Tony gets Spider-Man is just by giving him loads of cool tech. You know, he has the Iron Spider suit, and it's awesome, and that's how he makes his argument, and I think we see that with Tony a lot in this movie. He's not really got a great argument. He's just at the end of his tether, and he's doing the best he can to keep some people around him.
Yeah,
I feel so bad for Tony.
I really do too.
He's been through the ringer, hasn't he?
Iron Man 3 couldn't give a shit, right? But Ultron, Civil War, poof.
Heart breaks for him. Really does.
Yeah, I think it's about to break more. It's happening.
No.
It's happening. Okay.
Go on.
Oh, what were you gonna say? You please.
Oh no, I was just gonna say that quite possibly though, this is, having watched this now again, I've got to say I'm now even more firm in my opinion that Ant-Man needed his own movie, so I could be like as endeared to him as I was in this little battle. In the 5 minutes he was on screen, It was just awesome.
It's his own movie was worth it for when they opened that van door.
For the 5 minutes, for the 5 minutes he had in Civil War, however millions of pounds the Ant-Man cost, it was worth it.
Oh, dear.
A big Ant-Man. So funny.
Martin, would you prefer to be Ant-Man or Giant-Man?
Ant-Man.
Why?
Giant-Man's just impractical. Like, imagine trying to go around to your mum's for Christmas dinner as Giant-Man.
Yeah, it would be easier to do it as an Ant-Man.
Yeah, there's no emergency chair that could contain me.
Meanwhile, Ant-Man, you get to be on the end of Hawkeye's arrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you could, like, go inside stuff, and, like, if you didn't like something, you could, like, go inside and tear it apart.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, okay. I see, I think Ant-Man's clearly the stronger.
Where are his ants?
Yeah, he didn't bring any of his ants with him.
Because they're stupid. That's why.
Yeah, but no, they couldn't really...
Maybe the German ants. He doesn't know German. He wouldn't have been able to control the German ants.
Flugen.
The ants wouldn't have really done much against the Avengers either. No. Like, let's look at this. Yellow Jacket was a pretty crappy villain. And speaking of crappy villains, let me just bring it back to Zemo for a second. Because I've just thought of something.
Okay.
Does he have the lowest body count of any Marvel villain?
Yes, but...
He takes on the Avengers.
Yes, so lowest body count, but only Marvel villain thus far that has any measure of success.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
I think Loki would like to disagree.
Mm. Well, good luck, Loki.
You just wish Loki luck. No, I agree. I think he was... You know, he's the... You know, we've made jokes, particularly about phase one, where it's like, I'm going to reveal my grand plan. Mm. And then once I've revealed it, you're going to destroy me. Actually, he achieves his goal.
Yeah.
He achieves his goal.
Someone gets their arm.
Well, he does, but he does it behind, right, behind like, you know, an important big piece of glass.
In a bunker.
Yeah. But you know, that idea of like sowing this myth. Like, the first time I watched this, I genuinely thought the final showdown would be the three of them battling these five super villains.
Yes.
Like, I was building up to that when I first watched it. The fact that he managed to sew that narrative throughout the whole thing set Bucky up. Like, he's a smart villain.
Yeah,
He's a really smart villain.
I agree.
But we got at the end of this movie, we got the thing that we didn't expect, I feel. We spoke at the end of Age of Ultron how, like, will Cap and Tony buds again?
Mm.
And I think... That was them testing the waters with each other.
Yeah.
At the end of this, they're not friends anymore.
Yeah.
No way are they friends going into Infinity War.
At first, when I was kind of reminded of, like, why Zemo's doing this, I was like, okay, just another revenge thing. But he was so committed in a way that I think the other villains that we've encountered haven't. Like, the fact that at the very end, when he's sat on that rock listening to the voicemail one more time, and then he tries to, like, his plan was then to kill himself. He wasn't going to hang around and see, like, oh, my, all the fruits of my labor is amazing. He's like, they're fighting. Yeah. It's done. I'm done. And I think that was really powerful.
Wow.
I think Zemo might be up there with the best villain so far.
He was really good.
Wow. That's big. Best villain so far.
Yep.
But you know what? Coming up next week, not on the podcast, right, but in real
life,
real goddamn life. Okay,
I'm not sure I'm ready.
We have got
Avengers
Infinity War.
Oh, I can't.
Okay, so not part one anymore. This is it.
Oh.
Okay, now there will be another podcast before then.
Yeah,
and we'll speak to you even more about our final feelings at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, what do you think is the missing link between this movie and Infinity War? We get so many little seeds sown, and what we've seen in the trailers for Infinity War, is there something, is there a big story here that we've missed?
Oh man, I really don't know. I really don't know.
I think there's going to be one surprise that we haven't, that if we were doing this podcast again and we've rewatched them all after Infinity War, I feel like there's a seed being sown.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm not sure what that is.
I know.
Is Hawkeye retiring?
You know, there's a big Wakanda story, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a huge Wakanda story. It's featured loads in the trailer. We've got the Winter Soldier pieces in line. I think now I've rewatched this movie, the Winter Soldier storyline makes sense.
Mm.
So he's him, Tony, and Cap.
Yeah.
End up in Wakanda. Black Panther is not...
Tony's not...
Sorry, him...
Widow.
Black Panther... So, within this movie, mm-hmm. we see Black Panther and Bucky at odds. But yeah. then they kind of make up because Black Panther realizes that it's not Bucky, it was Zemo. Okay, so they're all buds again. Cap and Black Panther never really have any odds in this movie at all. Black Panther's solely against Bucky. Okay, we see in the post-credits of this movie, which if you've not figured out yet, listeners, we do talk about every week, just, after the credits. but we see them in Wakanda.
Mm-hmm.
And we see Winter Soldier with his arm missing going back under because he's like, I don't want to be part of this while I'm still got this brainwash thing going on. We see in the Black Panther post-credits that he's in Wakanda. He's still missing an arm, but he's back out of the cryo thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Cap is in Wakanda. Was he there throughout the whole of Black Panther? I don't know, but he's been growing a beard, right? Somehow, some other people must get there, like Wanda and Black Widow. But as well, in the trailers, there's the Hulkbuster suit in Wakanda.
Yeah.
So Tony's there.
No,
so,
I don't think Tony's in it.
Oh, who do you think's in it?
Oh, interesting.
Swerve. Who's in it?
I think either Widow or Pepper.
In the Hulkbuster, is Gwyneth Paltrow confirmed for
Yes, 100%. She's 100% in it.
A picture of her. On set.
She's given it. I'm trying so hard to avoid any interviews. Oh, I'm trying God. To anything other than trailers. Like, yeah. I'm trying to block
there's
out.
This,
but
there's this Winter Soldier thread. Yeah. He's
I think
key.
That's a distraction. No. I think that's going to distract. I think that's like a. This is the plot, but actually there's going to be something else in there that we haven't seen.
Are you saying that there's going to be a double bluff?
Well, maybe like, I don't know, maybe like Black Widow's turns. Maybe she's been working for just a blonde Thanos all along.
Oh my God, don't even.
No one even knows anything about Thanos.
Yeah, oh, I'm so excited. So are all, with this movie, no. Okay, it's we'll talk about Infinity Stones and during Strange.
Yes, is the next and final time we see Infinity Stones. Yeah,
so we need to chat about, we need to have a serious Infinity Chone?
Infinity Chone. Okay, we've been at this too long.
Yeah.
Okay, let's wrap up our final thoughts about Civil War. Okay, I thought it was an amazing movie, but Anna, first over to you.
Oh, well, I mean, I hope that my love for this movie has shown through everything I've said today. It's so great, and I think I've never felt... Until maybe Black Panther, perhaps. That final battle between Tony and Steve is just unbelievable. And I even have it. I think this is like maybe the third or fourth time I've watched this film. And still, like, I was like holding my breath watching them just fight each other in that way. And it was such a powerful note to end the movie so quickly after that as well. Tony's pain is so palpable when he talks about how Cap doesn't deserve that shield. His father made that shield. It just wrenched me. And then hilarious as well. So many amazing comedy moments. Incredible storyline. I love this movie. I think it's maybe up there with my favorite MCU movie ever.
Whoa. Yep. Stay or go?
Totally stays.
No point even asking, right? Martin, how do you feel?
This is a complicated film, and there are so many new characters, even like minor characters who are introduced, like T'Chaka or Sharon Carter. Like, there's a lot of people, and it's complicated and it's long as well. This is a really long film.
240.
Didn't notice.
and it's emotionally difficult as well, I think, and being able to pull that off, I think, is a massive feat. And that's why it's incredible, I think. Not just for the story, but for how much is in there. I'm still not massively convinced about the all hands on deck fight scenes. And that leaves a bit of a question mark for me over Infinity War. How are they going to have so many characters taking up so much space?
Oh, yeah.
But if this is how good it is now, imagine what it's going to be like for Infinity War. So... It can stay unless Hawkeye's not in Infinity War.
I big fan of this movie. I forgot how big a fan of this movie I was. It's got everything you want. You've got punch-ups, you've got big action things, you've got hard-hitting emotional bits. massive story development, even if there isn't huge character development for a lot of people. And it's put me pretty damn excited for Infinity War coming up. But yeah, stay. All day this movie stays. If I could keep five Marvel movies, this would be that five. Be in that five without...
Yeah.
I don't know what that the other four are. I guess Avengers and Black Panther would be in there. Mm. Maybe Thor, Ragnarok, and Guardians. Yeah, there we go. That's my five. We'll do yours next week.
Okay.
Okay? So you've got some time to think about your top five. And listeners, if you are at home, in your car, on the move, going for a jog, maybe you sat in line waiting for Avengers Infinity War to come out right now and you're going to go sit in the cinema and watch it, and you're listening to us, you let us know your top five Marvel movies as well. Great to hear them. Maybe we'll read some out if anyone sends one in. But if you are watching along, join us next week. We'll be continuing the bants. We'll be taking a tour of the Mirror Dimension with Dr. Stephen Strange in the movie Doctor Strange.
I'm not coming next
week. Come on.
I can't wait to hear you talk about Doctor Strange. I'm so excited.
Things are about to get extra dimensional. We will be discussing that movie next Wednesday, the day that Avengers Infinity War comes out. So expect us to be chatting more about our final predictions then. Thank you very much for listening today. This has been a marvelous lunch break. Anna, if listeners want to find more, where can they find you?
On Instagram at AnnaMarvelous, two N's, two L's.
And Martin, same question over to you.
Martin Loves, Twitter and Instagram.
And I am at DVMPreston across Twitter and Instagram. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. It's been a marvelous lunch break, and we will see you all again next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Really quick, in under 10 seconds, give me them.
Oh, yeah, I haven't prepared anything.
Oh, come on. Okay, Spidey with the thing on the roof.
Yeah.
All right.
Fine.
Pretty good.
Yeah. I was already excited to see him in his next movie. I didn't need it.
Was having the word homecoming in Bucky's book deliberate?
Probably. Just... I would say yes. Yeah.
The breadcrumbs are there.
The breadcrumbs have
I was surprised the last word wasn't like Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Next, Thor. Oh, well, it's not Thor next. God damn it. Anyway, thank you very much for listening, everyone. Marvelous lunch break. iTunes, rate, review. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.